The Gemara on Daf Zayin Amud Beis in Maseches Megillah says as follows: Amar Rava. It's about, I know, third down. We got the page. If anyone's interested, I know you got the Gemara in front of you. Sorry, the photocopy sheet's not working. Mechayev Inish Lusume Beforai Adlo Yaza Ben Ar Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. A person is chayev to leave the sume, intoxicate themselves with wine, as Rashi points out. Shakarawa says Rashi, until the point where he doesn't know the difference between honor, Haman, blessed, cursed, look at that. Cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. On this Gemara, I just had two quick points. Number one, the sume sounds like a funny word. Is it l'shtake, or is that what you're supposed to do? Why not just say that? What are we trying to accomplish? I'm not sure. We'll get back to that. We'll see. And number two is the shear is a funny shear. In other words, what's the shear? How much must one drink? Until he doesn't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai, that's not really a set amount. Is that like two cups? Is that like two bottles? It's a funny shear. Usually shiurim in halacha or revias. Maybe it's dalad kosos or dalad kosos with each revias. I don't know. Drink a lot, but like, and even drink, and even if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, and we'll get back to the Rambam a little bit later on for a couple other points. Rambam is found in Hilchos Megillah uChanukah, which by the way is already a funny title. Right? It should have been Megillah and Neiros Chanukah, or Purim and Chanukah. It's a funny asymmetrical title. Not for right now. Just interesting enough to comment because I open to the Rambam myself. Ketzer Chova Suda, which supposed to do as following: Bishota Yayin Ad Shishi Yishtaka V'Yirda V'Shichruso. How much do you have to drink until you pass out? And if that's the goal, so say it. What is this Ad Lo Yada Bein Ar Haman LeBaruch Mordechai? The funny shear. Those are just the first two little comments on the Gemara. The truth is, Tosfos adds in the different Masim, De Lo Yada Bein Ar Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. It's a funny different mask. I've never noticed it until now. I would have labeled it as Ad Dilo Yada. Tosis calls it Dilo Yada. He starts a different mask called Dilo Yada. It's like in the middle of a sentence. It should have been Ad Dilo Yada. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe there's something to be said about that. Just interesting. Tosis says, Be Yerushalmi, it's not only, it adds in Arura Zeresh Brucha Esther Arura Kol HaRishayim Bruchim Kol HaYehudim. The Ran as well has a similar comment about that. Even Machlokas Gersos Benaf right now. According to Tosfos, why does it say Haman and Mordechai? What's the reason why? Yelav Dafka. They're just examples of people. You got until you don't know the difference between seemingly opposite ends of things. You know, different sides of the spectrum. However, and that's how the Bach learns Tosfos as well. The Bach, however, does quote another opinion. Entitled the Seida Lederach, the sheet of the Bach called the Seida Lederach, which seems to say, right, the first chat he says is the same, basically, Eina Finami Lav Dafka, the same as Yerushalmi, just the Rav of Kitzer Lashona, he's just quoting one out of three, Bechet Pirish Haran, about the Sefer Seida Lederach, the Sefer Seida Lederach, Perish Yishtak, or Ach, just Lefam, Im Yitte, and Lomer, Lehevav, Baruch Mordechai, Baruch Ham. And that's the Lashon of the Aguda as well. The first point he makes is it's dafka, it's only Haman and Mordechai. The second point is what's the difference, and argues the Bach, that the difference is whether or not one has one small mistake, or whether or not it's like a huge amount. It's not like a quantitative difference. It has to be mamish drunk, we don't know the difference between anyone and anyone. Person A versus person B, C versus D, E versus F, you don't know the difference. Or just stop, you know, the way I accidentally made a mistake this morning, earlier on when I said Haman, no, Mordechai, so we have to kind of mix it up a little bit, but not really a lot. That's both the two ways of reading the Gemara, Dafka versus Lav Dafka, as well as the Bach interpretation of that, which we will maybe get to later on. Then the Gemara continues, and this is really relevant for the Sugi as well. The Gemara says next, Rabba Rav Zera Avdu Suda Beporim Bahadi Hadadi. Rabba and Rav Zera made a Suda together. If Sum, he got drunk, Kam Rabba, Rabba got up, Shechtel Rav Zera, he slaughtered Rav Zera, he killed him, seemingly. Lamachar by Rachamei V'achayei. The next year he started davening, and he asked for Rachamim. Lashana, Amar Leh, Nesei Mar V'nevetudis, Purim Bahadi Hadadi. Rabba said, we had a great time last year. Why don't you come back? And Rabbi responds, what are you, nuts? Rav Zera responds, what are you, nuts? Amar Leh, lo b'chol shayta b'shayta, misrachish nisa. You can't ask for nisim all the time. You know, I'm not taking these chances again. Anytime you have a story in a Gemara, it's worthwhile to ask, what's the purpose of the story? That's the first question. And number two is there any halachic relevance to the story or not? The first question, you know, what's the purpose of the story, may not have halachic relevance. It may just be a very nice agadah Gemara. It's a very nice, not nice, call whatever you want. It may just be an agadah Gemara, no deeper halachic value, but has some hashkafic message. Whatever the hashkafic message may be, we'll leave aside for right now. We'll get back to, you know, we'll see potentially the options that they could be when we get to the potential halachic messages. L'chara could be, whatever the hashkafic message is, I don't know, we'll leave aside right now. But maybe there's a halachic message. And the truth is the fact that the Rif quotes this story as well as, I'm sorry, the Rif does not quote this story. Right, the Rif says, Amar Rav Chai Bishal Bezuk Prad Lo Yada Ben Baruch Mordechai Lo Arvam. He switches around the order, I'm not sure why. Then he says, Amar Rav Asudas Korim Shachah Balayla Lo Yada Ben Chavav Matam Yimei Mishnah Vesim Chatsil Perhu. So the story doesn't come up in the Rif. Maybe it's just some like hashkafic story with no significance to it halachically. The hashkafic point is nice thing to be learned from it. Maybe it's just a random story of the Amoraim. Whatever the reason why the Gemara tells stories may be important, but maybe there is a type of deeper message halachically. And many Rishonim take that second approach as well. The most extreme is the famous shita of the Baal Amar and the Rabbeinu Ephraim. They say as follows: Amar Rabba, Chai Ben Shlomasume Beforaya. Kosev Harav Rabbeinu Ephraim Zal Nimahu Avda Dekam Rav Shachte Rav Zera Lishana Amrle Ta Navin Id Chele Memra De Rabba. From the story of Rav Shachte Rav Zera, it comes to what? Bidoche to disagree with the previous statement. And interestingly enough, the Yirsa that the Baal Amar has is of Rabba. In other words, it's not that Rava said Chai Ben Shlomasume. And then we told the story about Rava and Rav Zera, but rather it was all Rava. And I think that's relevant because Rava lived before Rava, and Rava made a statement, and then the story about Rava disagrees with it. It's the same time period, same guy. If it had been Rava making the statement, Rava was the Talmud of his, Rava lived afterwards, maybe one would argue Rava still maintained his statement. The point is, according to the Baal Amar, according to Ben Ephraim, one should not get drunk, one should not drink. The whole purpose of the story of Rav Shecht and Rav Zera is to show you just how dangerous it can be to get totally wasted, just how serious and harmful it can be to get drunk. And therefore, Paskin Rabbein Ephraim, Paskin the Baal Amar, the Ranakot Rabbein Ephraim as well, that one should not get drunk on Purim, one should not drink on Purim. We don't Paskin this way. And we ended on a small little ha'ara, which worked out nicely, that the Yirsa that the Baal Amar has is Amar Rava, Mechai Ben Shlomasume, opposed to Amar Rava. And the reason why it's nice is because Rava was the exact same second statement. The reason why it's important is because it was not the next generation where someone kept on saying drinking, but apparently from Rava and Rabbi Yosef on the Chora, that should have been the Psak, and that's what the Baal Amar says, and therefore the purpose of the story is not just hashkafically, like maybe the Rif would learn, but it's a halachic point that it comes to argue on the previous Memra, the Rava, and says, Baal Amar, Paskin, you shouldn't drink. Yeah. We'll see. I'm with you. There are, however, other Rishonim who are about to make the point that I think Shaul Yaakov was about to make. The Eshkol, the Prichar, they say, no, the exact same thing. The point of the story is to bring a raya to Rava's din. Look, Rava says drink, and Rava invited Rav Zera to get drunk together. And even after Rava shechted Rav Zera, next year what? He invites him back. Now, it's true Rav Zera didn't come. He didn't say, I'm not drinking. He just said, no, thanks. I don't trust you. You're a wild drunk. He said, I'm not going back. And, you know, b'chol shana b'shana, we can't. B'chol shaita b'shaita, you can't be misracha b'shanisa. You can't. Ain't some kind of nice. You can't rely on miracles. But next year, they seem to drink again. The next year, Rabbi invites Rav Zera. And this seems to be the psak of the Rambam, the Rif, the Torah, the Iter, that Lahalacha, we follow the shita of Rabbah, we follow the shita of Rabbah, that there's a chiyuv to drink on Purim. And the point of the story, I guess, maybe is to bring a raya to support the theory. That's what the Prichadash argues, that's what the Eshkol argues, that's what many other argues as well. There is, however, maybe a second potential reason why the story was brought, not just as a raya, not just to support it, but in a certain sense to either create, teach, or maybe even support the fact that is this din of drinking a separate chiyuv, or is it somehow connected to something broader? And the truth is, if you look at many Rishonim, you look at the Torah, you look at the Rambam, you look at the Rif, even the Gemara itself, you get the impression of something quite broader. It may not be an independent mitzvah, but it's a chelek of the Suda. For example, when the Rif quotes it, then the next mitzvah halach, it says right afterwards, if you eat your Suda at night, you're not Yotzei. What's the juxtaposition of these two halachas? Why would he say there's a mitzvah to drink and don't eat your Suda at night? Maybe one can conclude that what? The goal of the drinking is not just stam to get drunk, and people who drink all day long, maybe you're making a mistake. It's part of the Suda. It's a chelek of the Suda. If you look at the way the Torah quotes the halacha, the Torah says as follows. Mitzvos lahargos v'sudas purim v'tzarech shishtaker ad lo yadavein arham l'baruch mardechai. It sounds like it's all one sentence. You have to have a suda and you have to get drunk. Almost, as, he doesn't use the word at your suda, but it's probably what he means. And it's most clear in the Rambam. Listen to the Lashon Haram. The Rambam's in Megillah Perek Beis Halacha Tezvav. Keitzad chova suda, zu, what should you do? Sheyochal baser v'yitakin suda noy kefi asher tim tzayadah. You should have a nice meal as best as you can do it, and there's maybe a chiyuv to have basa. People are not going to have a suda basa like the rabbit, not just chicken or something. V'sho deyayin ad shiyishtaka v'yirdim v'shechru, so you should drink wine until you pass out. V'chein chayiv adam l'shloach shtei mamos basa, oh, whatever it is, etc. The mitzvah of the shalach mamos. People make medayik in the word v'chein, but that's not my topic right now. Like, what's the connection? Why is it the same halacha? Why is it connected? But similarly, the Rambam includes the mitzvah of drinking to be a chelek, part and parcel of the mitzvah of suda, and that very well may be the way. If you look at the, even if you make a deal in the story, if you read the story, there's a great deal to make. Rabba reverb zera of the suda's per mahadi hadadi. They made a suda together. If so, come Rabba shachtil reverb zera. There's a good chance that the purpose of the story is to focus the chiyuv to only suda. When they tell the story, they didn't have to mention they were making a suda together. Why did they mention that point? Maybe that's the view that the Rambam, the Torah, the Rif, and others make to show that there's a linkage, that the mitzvah of shtiyas yayin, the chiyuv to l'sumeg, is not an independent halach, but rather a chelik of the mitzvah of suda. Not pasha, but arguably. Is it part of the mitzvah or separate? You know, arguably it's part of it. And there is, however, a third approach to, as to how to understand the purpose of this story, and that's the shita of the Bach. The Bach spells it out the clearest. The Bach says as follows: Umi hu dafkel v'sume adlo yada ben arham l'barach marchai hu didachin lei. The purpose of this story is to be a dichoy, but not a complete dichoy. The purpose of the story is to limit the drinking. Avami yitzaras mishtar harbe milimudo shita libo b'mishta yehi shatoi o afilu shikor. You should get drunk, but not wasted. You should not be out of control. You should drink what? Ad delo yada, ad betula. Ad and not anymore. You should not get totally plastered to the point where you're killing people. That's crossing a line. And that's maybe the point. That Rav Zera said, I'm not coming back next year because you killed me last year. And it could be the point of the story is to limit. If we have three major conceptual approaches how to handle this schema, this story. Is the goal to reject it? Is the goal to prove it? Or somewhere in the middle, the goal is to limit it, encourage it, but in a restricted context. And the truth is that's by the shita of the Aruch HaShem as well. The Beis Yosef quotes Aruch HaShem and says as follows, Nagu lecho b'leil Purim. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. Kasev Orach Haschaim Chay Benish Lavesim Beforaya Ashi Yishtaker Shashichras Iser Gomer VeEin Lacha Berik. Don't let me do. You shouldn't get plastered. Shehu Gorim Legili Arayis VeShvichas Damim BeKam Ave VeZulasam Ashi Ach. However, but Shiyishte Yoter Milimudo Ketat Maat. You should drink a little more than you usually do. And again, I don't know if the Or Chas Chaim makes the same deal with the word "I," and that's the purpose of the story, but very likely it is. He said, what are the two areas he mentions? What is Gilui Arayos? Presumably he's referring to the stories of Tanakh, maybe Lot, or maybe even maybe Noah, most likely Lot. And Ritzicha. What Ritzicha is he referring to? Presumably, Rava and Rav Zeira. The truth is, there is a difference of presentation between Or Chas Chaim and the Bach. The Bach probably would have you get drunker than the Or Chas Chaim. But whatever it is, the point is it's a limited amount. The goal is to restrict the amount of how much you drink. And therefore, there are three different ways of understanding the story. There is, however, a fourth possibility, which is the story is you totally misunderstood. The word shachtei, shin, ches, tes, could have also meant sachtei, with a sin, ches, tes. You don't know if it's shecht or sachav, schita. I think the Meiri argues that what Rabbi did is never children's era. You can't bring people back to life. That doesn't happen. Whatever it does, according to the other shulchan, if you think about it. The Meiri said he kind of squeezed. He put his hand to the neck of Rav Zeira, and he poured wine down his mouth, and he poured so much down that he passed out, and he was sick, and alcohol poisoning, who knows what. And he prayed for him to come back next year, and Rav Zeira responded, listen, he didn't kill me, but still, it's an ace that I made it through, I'm not coming back. According to the Meiri, Lechora, I'm not sure exactly how much one would have to drink. It's certainly not like the Vein Ephraim, it certainly is a mitzvah to drink. So he didn't come to reject this story, whether it comes to limit it or not, probably is unclear. How much would you have to drink? I don't know, but it's worthwhile to know that Meiri. Nonetheless, there are three major ways of reading the story, as a raya, as a rejection, or as a limitation. Whether or not you learn, let's say, like the Rif and the Rambam and the Torah and the Yitzhak, that this mamash bona fide chi of Adlo Yad, the mamash plaster, or whether it's a more limited amount, like the Or Chas Chaim, like the Bach, you should drink, but drink under control. So what's behind that machlokas? So l'chor, the simple pshat, is just a quantitative machlokas. Should you get plastered or should you not? How careful should you be? Should you mamash not be careful at all and just drink till your heart's content, or should you drink with restriction? And the truth is that there's a good chance that's correct. There's a good chance that's really what the lumbus, maybe most likely that's probably what the machlokas is all about. Do we take into account, safety precautions and potential dangers, and we just kind of say, enjoy yourself. That's right, drink as much as you can. However, there may be another potential hakir that be madness machlokas, not a quantitative one, not a more or less, or take into account, the dangers or not. There may be another potential question out there. There's a hakir that the Emek Bracha raises, that the nature of drinking in general. The Emek Bracha suggests that there are two ways of understanding the drinking. One is that there's a goal to get to a specific point, which is called Adlo Yada. Once you hit that point, you're Yotzei Yechiyev, and you no longer have a Chiyev anymore. He even goes that so far as to say maybe the reason why is because you're a Shota, you're a Shikr, and a Shikr is Pater for Mitzvahs. And why, in other words, the Mitzvah itself demands that you get to the point where you become Pater, maybe Gufa for that reason, maybe just because you don't say the Mitzvah. In other words, it could just be that stam. That's good. That you, just like when you drink a kizayis, so here you got to a kizayis. Here you drink till you don't know. And once you hit that point, you're potter. Or it could be, it goes a step further. I guess we'll call this 1A and 1B even. It could be the reason why you're potter is because you're a shikr, and a shikr is potter from mitzvah. And that's even the goal, potentially. There is, however, a second possibility, which is the chiyuv to drink all day long. And the reason why it says ad lo yada means because that's, you're never going to get to that point. There's no such point. As long as you're awake, you know the difference. You'll notice people who have mamish, been drunk on Purim, and they still, at the end of the day, they know that Haman is bad and Mordechai is good. It's not what you, they would argue, it's not what you say, like you did mess up with your words, like I messed up earlier on, or like we had quoted, some of the Mepharshim said earlier on, you mess up with your words a little bit. But rather, it's mamish, you don't know, that's impossible, and therefore it's a code word for saying drink all day long and never stop. The Svasana says it's the first, the second possibility that even when you're totally smashed, you wake up, you got more time in the day left, keep on drinking, because it's a chiyuv to get as far as you can. And the Emek Baruch is even a diet like this from the Rambam. It's not a question, it's right. It is an interesting deal. Listen to the Lashon HaRambam again. The Rambam says as follows, Ketzer Chova Suda Zu, Sheyochal Basar, V'yitakein Suda Noat, V'fi Ashetim Tzalo, V'sho Seyayim, Sheyochal, it should be sheyishte. Yeah, it says shosen. Why does the Rambam switch from Sheyocha versus Shoseh? It should be Sheyishteh. Why does he say Shoseh? Right? It's a different language. One is Sheyocha Basar and have a nice meal, and Vishoseh Ad Sheyishtakeh. What do you mean Vishoseh? Shoseh sounds like it's a word not you should do, but what you are doing. In other words, it doesn't sound like he should drink, but sounds drink. Vishoseh, he drinks. The English would be, he should eat his food and he drinks. What does it mean he drinks? Sounds like constantly drinking over as much as he can until until you're passed out. When you wake up, you keep on drinking. Says the Emek Bracha, that's the Pshat in the Rambam. Maybe it's a good deal, maybe not. But L'chor, it's a fascinating Chakira. L'chor, what's behind it, you have to sharpen it a little bit. How would you put these into Lamedish terminology? What would you call it? Correct. Is the mitzvah of the mice of drinking to be drinking constantly? That's the second possibility he has, that the goal is the action of drinking. To drink and then drink more and then drink more, then it's a constant mice of mitzvah. Alternatively, it's totsah. The goal is to achieve the conclusion of a certain specific point. And just to further break it down into lumdish possibilities, I'll do that in a second actually. There is a nafka mina that the Emek Bracha, that Achronim had. I saw the nafka mina and some of the Achronim. Achronim have been following nafka mina to this kasha of Emek Bracha. Again, the person, we alluded to, the person gets drunk at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, wakes up, sleeps till 4, wakes up at 4 o'clock, totally sober. What's the day? Must he drink again? Is there a chiyuv to drink again? Maybe with a mitzvah to drink again? Just as lechor, that's a nafka mina. If it's the totsah, you achieve the totsah. If the goal is the result, you've accomplished that, and therefore you're done. However, if the goal is the maisa, then l'chori you should, maybe, keep on drinking as much as you want. It's a funny lashon, ad lo yada min arham l'barach Mordechai. L'chora, if this Emek Brachas Chakir is correct, is the ad lo yada, is it a simen for something else, or is it mamish nesiva? Or in other words, is it a code word? If the goal is the maisa, the goal is to drink as much as possible, to keep on drinking, keep on drinking, keep on drinking, like the second possibility raised in the Emek Bracha, the goal is not really ad lo yada min arham l'barach Mordechai. You can never get to that point. But that's just a code word for just keep going. Because you'll never get to the point where you are yada, or you are lo yada min arham l'barach Mordechai. However, if the goal is not the maisa, not to be constantly drinking and constantly drinking and constantly drinking, but rather to achieve a certain point of drunkenness, then l'chor, what's that point? The lo yada min arham l'barach Mordechai. What exactly is that point? So we discussed that a lot already. Maybe it's just a little bit more than usual. It's odd and not further. Maybe it's totally smashed. Maybe it's, like we pointed out, the Bach's Chakira as to whether it's, well, you don't manage to know the difference between any people in the world, Haman, Mordechai, this one, that one, nobody, or just, no, specifically these two people. And I'd like to just share, maybe, and if it is Dafka, why would it say Haman and Mordechai? So again, it could be, either Lav Dafki with Makatula shown or the way the Bach was Tosis, the simple Pshat Tosis Yushami. Or maybe it's Dafka, like the way the Bach was the Tzedel Dafka, that's Dafka, a little bit different between X versus Y. But I want to sort of write to Harry and ask an excellent question, which is, why don't you say that? I don't know the difference between the things. Why don't you use Dafka, Haman, and Mordechai? It would be like funny people to choose. It's true, it is portable. But at the end of the day, it's a bizarre classification of a halachic shir. You should have said, choose that you don't know the difference between two different people, between good and bad, between light and day, I don't know what, between opposites of things. Why Dafka Haman and Mordechai? Why Dafka Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai? What's going on here? So the truth is, he quoted an Avudraham. The Avudraham explains that one of the reasons why we have a suda with wine, and the truth is many people before the Avudraham said wine. Rashi alludes to the fact that you're supposed to be Lemesume, Leshtaker, Biyayin. Rashi said, why Dafka Biyayin? They didn't make it in Rashi, the Dafka wine. Why Dafka wine? The Rokeach said Dafka wine. Why Dafka wine? So the Avudraham explains that there were many, many, many parts of the miracle of Purim that came out, that unfolded via wine, via drinking of wine. Vashti has a first party, Achshverosh gets drunk based on wine, and wants Vashti to walk around. Then Esther has a party for Achshverosh, and that's based on wine. The second party with Achshverosh, again, two parties, Achshverosh, Haman, and Esther, and that's with wine. And when Haman gets killed, it's because Asher, who was drunk and wanted to take a break, and he was, maybe he made a quick decision because he was drunk. And everyone got drunk and got drunk on wine. And the Avodah says it's almost like a zecher l'nes. In other words, to remember how the miracle came about, we kind of commemorate that by drinking wine. Vitarikin suggested one step further than the Avodah, based upon the Avodah. Vitarikin suggested that it's funny, zecher l'nes, like what are we trying to do? Drink wine? Who's the one who threw all these parties? Hachemish. Vitarikin suggested maybe, if you look at the story, one of the major themes of the story of Megillah is Achashverosh's personality. There's actually a machlok to the Gemara, if he's Melech Tipesh or Melech Chacham, if he's a wise king or a stupid king. The standard ethnic explanation is the stupid king model. This right target didn't take my own shtickle Torah, but I think it works out very nicely. I'll get back to the point in a second, the building from Maryland, let's get back to his. It makes a lot of sense to say he was a stupid king. At the end of the day, he kills his wife Vashti, wakes up and regrets it. You know what I mean? Like he gets drunk, just kills his wife because she doesn't want to come dance, wakes up and regrets it. Then he looks for a queen. What is he looking for? All the basulas in the land. Why is he looking for basulas? It's not because they're Harvard graduates. It's not because he's intellectually elite. There's only one reason the person only wants a basula. You know, and then after that, Haman walks into his room in the middle of the night and he's like, how do you, and Achshavish is like, come, and Achshavish wants to, honor Mordechai. He says, how do I honor someone like a man like Mordechai? How do I honor him? I'm looking for a guy to honor, what do I do? So Haman's like, well, you put him in the king's crown, the king's this, the king's that, and Achshavish doesn't even realize that Mordechai and Haman are like worst enemies. Like, wow, great idea. Have you ever seen the movie Aladdin? It reminds me of the Sultan and Jafar. You know what I'm saying? Like Jafar is like the sinister individual, like come on, the Sultan's like, yeah, I'm a great judge of character. The bird says, nah. And then like, there's this whole, that's how you get the impression, He gets invited to a party, he's like, oh my goodness, a party, Esther, what's it all about? You know what I mean? They're like, oh, another party, that's great, let's go. You know what I mean? Like a big fat stupid idiot. And then finally Esther says, it's Haman who did it. He had no idea, my goodness, Haman? You, my own trusted assistant? You wanted to kill these people? Like you signed, you took off your ring, you gave to him, he's like a total idiot. However, there is another way of looking at the story, which is Achashverosh is unbelievably wise. A brilliant man who's a little bit paranoid but very concerned, especially because, as I'll say, he took over from the previous king, and he's nervous about people's loyalty. He's nervous about people recognizing his power and challenging his power, and therefore, even his own wife, when she challenges his power publicly, you know what he has to do? Kill her. And you want to know why he's so interested in saving Mordechai? The answer is because helping Mordechai, rewarding Mordechai, because if people try to poison him, it has to be crystal clear to the world that, well, when you help the king, you get help back. And you want to know why he likes Haman's idea so much? Because it's a public display of Kacha Yasel Ishishamachabezbekara. And more than that, Achashverosh is very wise. He's fully aware of the tension growing. He's fully between Mordechai and Haman. He's fully aware that Haman and Mordechai are challenging each other and fighting each other and trying their best to climb up, and he knows that he authored a decree to kill Mordechai's people, Jewish people, just because Haman wanted it. He's very wise. However, he's also nervous about taking people, and he loves Haman because Haman's a wise man as well. And if they're scattered all over the place, funny argument to bring to a king. They're not part of us. They're individuals. They don't identify with your kingdom, which is like, let's kill them. Because he's worried about them rebelling and taking over his kingdom. A wise man, but a paranoid man. However, there comes a point where Haman tells everyone to bow down to him. You know what Achashverosh begins to think? That already is no longer worrying about Kvod HaMelech. That's not Kvod HaMelech Haman is worried about. What's he really worried about? His own covenant. And therefore, when Haman walks in, he says, let me ask you a question, Haman, being very wise. What would you do to a man who I really wanted to honor? And Haman falls right into the trap. It's his greed that causes the court. And Achashverosh is teaching him a lesson. I want you to do that to Mordechai. I want you to know that, subtle message, I'm the king. When I say pull around your worst enemy, it's all about Kvod Malchus. And this is what you do to a king, or the man with a king. I want you to show the world that I'm honoring him. And at the end of the day, when Esther says, this man's trying to kill my people, and he walks into the house, back again, and what's Haman doing? He's begging on Esther's bed. Mamish, my wife, on my bed, in my palace. In my palace? Either way, there's a rivalry of Haman and Mordechai through the Megillah. And who's the person who doesn't see the clarity of who's good and who's bad, who's baruch, who's ar, who's a good guy, who's a bad guy? That's Akash Rebush. Based upon this understanding, like Aragon said, he didn't mention this, but I think it's a good way of building it. Achashverosh, the goal of Purim is to put yourself in Achashverosh's shoes. To recreate the Sa'uda that he created. To drink the same wine he drank. To the point where you don't know the difference, like he didn't know, between Dafka Haman and Dafka Mordechai. Not like the Yerushalmi. It's not just being Bekatzer Lashon. It's not a lower level, a quantitative machlok, it's like the Bachler. That's a lower level of how much you should drink. There's a qualitative difference, there's a different agenda in mind. The goal is not just to get past that, the goal is to put yourself in Achashverosh's shoes. And now the question I guess would be why? Like, why not put yourself in, I don't know, your shoes? And I think the answer is, if you want to really understand the nature of the miracle of Purim, the question you want, it looks to, you know who it looks like is the real Melech? Achashverosh. You know, is HaMelech, it made us say Hashem's name in all the Megillah. But HaMelech, the one who's really pulling the strings, the puppeteer from above, the one who has full control of the world, the one who's working with Derech Hashkach, you know, what's it called? Hashkach. It's a Kaddish Baruch. And even though you may think you're in charge of the world, you may think you're the Achashverosh. You may think you're the one who runs the world. The message of Purim is that a Kaddish Baruch, from a hidden place, a Kaddish Baruch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from a Hashgacha perspective, is running the world. And sometimes the way to see him is not having clarity, it's to recognize you're not the Baal HaBayis, you don't understand everything, you don't see the world with clarity. Ironically, when you get really drunk, a person very often just searches for Hashem and finds, you don't know what's good, you know what's bad, but somehow it's not an intellectual comprehension. It's an emotional awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who you kind of look to and turn to and try to connect. It could be that the idea behind the drinking. That would certainly explain why it's l'msume as opposed to just to drink. It's to heighten yourself. It's to elevate yourself. It's to achieve a different type of understanding. It's why Dafka Haman and Dafka Mordechai come up, because it's not just a chiyuv to drink as much as possible. It's a chiyuv to drink in a specific way. It's a chiyuv to drink Dafka like Haman and Mordechai. To put yourself Dafka in Achashverosh's shoes, not to know what's going on. In any event, I tried my best to give over two different elements of the sugya. One is the general knowledge of the sugya, which is, you know, three different ways of learning the story. The question of how much should you get one drunk related to it. The Emet Bracha, the Bach, the different lumdus that goes on, as well as this very clever shot that Rabbi and I get together, put together about Dafka Haman and Dafka Mordechai. On one hand, the overall information, the general reading. Number two is the creative reading of why Dafka Haman and Dafka Mordechai. I think really explains the text very nicely. Lastly, just a quick minute or two on Halacha L'maisa. Halacha L'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch passages like Rov, the Rishon, the Rambam, the Rif, the Yitter, the Tar, another Rishon, the person should get drunk. The Ramah quotes a second day out that the person should drink a little bit. I think it's based upon the Kolbo, drink a little bit, and this way you go to sleep. And you hit the stage of Ad Lo Yadim and Arham L'Brach Mordechai, not because you have not because you have drunk to the point of sleeping. Because although maybe you have an extra cup of wine, it helps you go to sleep. The Ramah certainly has that way out. And the Rebbe post came out to say you can rely completely upon the Rebbeinu Ephraim, on the Baal HaMor, and not drink at all. There are different days out there. People know that. You know, in the yeshiva, the different Rebbeinu out there. Brody relies much more on the Ramah. He has a cup of wine, tries to take a nap a little bit later, a little bit more than usual. Maybe like the Bach and the Orchis Chaim, a little bit more than usual, a little more than classic. The people who have a much more tame style, the people out there, without mentioning any names, who are mamish adlo yada bechlau, the way the Bach learns the Yerushalmi, not knowing the difference between Zeresh, and not knowing the difference between Esther, not knowing between the Yehudim and anyone. And you know, as the Ramah writes l'halacha, as long as it's done l'shem shemayim, I think that's the shkafic message to take out of it, that halachic message to take out of it. Echad kazev, there's different ways of going about it. It's not a common phenomenon that the Ramah points out. Do whatever you want as long as it's L'Shem Shemayim. Although I think, correctly so, I understand why this particular law makes that point. In any event, we'll stop here.